Torah Way, North West London, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Mishpotim, Parshas Shkolim, Rabbi Michal Jablinovitz, Eved Nirtza, Naaseh V'Nishma.
Parsha begins, this week's Parsha, Parsha Mishpatim, with the Eved Ivri. The halacha of the Eved Ivri is that he works for 6 years, he's freed in the seventh year. Then the Torah tells us, V'im omar yomar ha'eved, ahavti es adoni, es ishtivi es bonoi, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. Lo, it's a, I don't want to go free. V'gisho adonov el ha'elohim. Bring him to Beis Din. V'gisho el ha'deles. O ala mezuzah. Bring him to the doorpost. Raza adonov es ozno b'marzeh v'avado lolo. His ear is bored, is drilled, and now he's an eved l'olam. Olam, of course, olam ha'shel yoivim. So why do we drill his ear? Why is his ear drilled? So Rashi here brings that we're talking about somebody who sold himself. Oisin Shasham al Har Sinai, Kilibine Sar Lavodim. This ear that heard on Har Sinai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Am Yisrael are to me slaves, V'holach V'kona Adon La'atzmo, and he went to get himself another master, Tiratza. His ear is bored, is
drilled.
So the Svasem asks the question, why do we drill his ear? His ear didn't do anything, right? His body, he stayed when he should have left. What about the poor guy's ear? Okay, it hurt, but the Aveira, the Aveira wasn't with his ear, it was with his goof. Why are you drilling his ear? So, the Chidush Arim, his grandfather, says that the pshat is, since he didn't pay attention to what he heard, we drill his ear, it didn't listen. There's no point in having an ear. The whole point in having an ear is to listen, to hear what's going on. And he didn't sin with his ear. But the ear should have had an influence over his goof, over his body. The ear didn't do its job. There's no point in listening. No point of an ear is to hear, is to listen. You're not listening, you don't need your ears, so you get rid of the ear. That's how he explains the pshat and the fact that we drilled the ear. Now, there's another hearing going on in the parsha, a very famous one. Everybody knows him. Am Yisrael said, Kabbalah Satira, Naaseh V'Nishma. So I want to make the following point. You know, what's the godless of Naaseh V'Nishma? What's the uniqueness and what's the praiseworthiness of Am Yisrael that they said Naaseh V'Nishma? So of course, everybody knows Chazal emphasize it. The fact, Shekdimu Naaseh L'Nishma, that they said Naaseh before Nishma. Usually the way things work in the world is that if someone asks you to do something, so first you say, tell me exactly what it is, let me understand. First I understand what is being requested of me, then I make a decision, and based on my understanding of whether it's worthwhile for me or not, I act upon what was requested of me. Am Yisrael, they didn't do that. Naaseh, first we're going to do, accept upon ourselves to do before we hear, before we understand exactly what we're going to be asked to do. So the godless of our Yisrael is that they said, Naaseh before Nishma. Okay. But in Parshas Yisro, right? Before we get to Parshas Mishpatim, in Parshas Yisro, Am Yisrael already said, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh. He already said, we're going to do it. Right? We never quote this Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, but Am Yisrael, before Matan Torah, said, whatever God tells us, we're going to do it. Right? Vayanu chol ha'om yachdov yomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Whatever God tells us, we're going to do it. Not na'aseh v'nishma, na'aseh. And now in Parshas Mishpatim, and now in Parshas, it's na'aseh v'nishma. So I want to understand, what's the Tosefet, what's the addition of Naseh and Nishma to Naseh? Naseh already means we're going to do it. We don't even, somebody could say Naseh is greater. We don't even need to hear after. We don't have to understand what we're doing. We don't even want to know. We'll do it. Whatever he tells us we're going to do, Naseh. And then, in our parasha, Naseh and Nishma, what's the Tosefet, what's the addition of having the Nishma to the Naseh? If you're going to tell me that the fact is that the Nishma came before Naseh, but they already said Naseh. They already said we're going to do it. They already accepted upon themselves the mitzvahs. But what's the addition of having the word, the statement of we're going to hear and learn and understand after they already said we're going to do whatever God tells us we're going to do? So I want to begin the answer, perhaps a journey here in understanding the whole concept and an additional aspect of Naseh and Nishma to what is normally understood. Go back to Parshas Vayera, if you will. Parshas Vayera, there's a problem in the Parsha, there's an issue in the Parsha that many of the Mefarshim discuss. Many of the Mefarshim discuss the fact that the Torah decides at the beginning of the Parsha it wants to give us a yichus of who Moshe and Aaron were as they're about to embark upon their journey, their mission, rather I should say. Who's Moshe and Aaron? Who's Moshe and Aaron? So the Torah says, right? Eila Rosh Beisa, where somebody starts going through all of Am Yisrael, being Shevet Ruvein. Eila Rosh Beisa, where somebody named Ruvein, Bechor Yisrael, etc. Then Ubnei Shimon. Okay, Ubnei Shimon. And then, of course, right, Ve'elish Mos Bnei Levi, of course, Moshe Aaron from the house of Levi. Then it stops. Then it stops. So, the question is, B'manavshach, if you just want to tell us who Moshe and Aaron were, what are you telling us, Ruvain? What is there telling us, Ruvain and Shimon? Tell us, Shevet Levi. Tell us, Shevet Levi. And if you want to, well, we're not just going to tell you Shevet Levi, we're going to tell you all of Klal Yisrael. So why do they stop with Shevet Levi? You're starting Reuven, Shimon, keep on going until you go to the end. There's a question that, well, we'll start with that. Rashi. Rashi asks a question, right? Rashi's bothered. Why does it begin with Reuven and Shimon and not just tell the Shevet Levi? So that's Rashi. Mitosha, who's Kakliyachi, Shiptosha Levi, Ad Moshe, Viyaro? Bishvil Moshe V'Yarmo. Since he wanted to tell us Shevet Levi who Moshe and Aaron were, his Chiliachasam Derek told us some Ruvein. It started from Ruvein. Okay, so Rashi doesn't really answer the question. He just says, wanted to start with Ruvein, because he couldn't start with Levi. You have to start from the beginning. Why stop in the middle? Doesn't say. But then he brings the Psikta Gilar Isi Lefi Shekintrim Yaakov Avinu Lishlosh Hashvotim Halalu. So Rashi says, the reason that the Torah goes back and gives us the Yichus of Reuben, Shimon, and Levi is because when Yaakov gave his brachas to his children, he gave a bit of a hard time to the Shvatim. Right? It was been kanter then, you know. Pachas Kamayim, Al Tosar, Ki Elisa, Mishkevei Avicha, it's critical, right? Shimon Golevi, Klei Chamos, Becheiro Seyem. They were somewhat violent, right? So since Yaakov was critical of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, therefore the Torah wanted to say, one second, it's true Yaakov was somewhat critical, but now we want you to know the Yichus of Am Yisrael is holy, is pure, and therefore they're Hashuvim, they're significant, they're important. We're still telling you Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are just as significant and important as the others. There was a reason to believe that perhaps they're not as great as the others. We don't have to mention all the others. Since Yaakov was more praiseworthy to the others, from Yehuda onward, we have to go back to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. That's our Rashi. The Maharal gives another explanation how to show there was some kind of a selection process here till you get from Reuven down to Levi. I want to share with you a pshat that Rav Tzadok says in the Pritzah. Okay? Tzadok says an amazing pshat. He says, you know what? Starts with Reuven and Shimon. But Tzadik is assuming in his answer, just tell us Shevet Levi. You don't tell us Reuven and Shimon. Why are you telling us Reuven and Shimon as well? So Tzadik says, because there's something very important and significant about Reuven and Shimon. When Reuven was born, let's go back. When Reuven was born, right? When Reuven was born, his mother Leah said, "Ki ro'ah Hashem ba'oni." God saw my suffering, right? That's how Reuven got his name. How did Shimon get his name? Shimon got his name because Leah says, "Batar or batar leben batomer." Ki shama Hashem ki snua anoichi. God heard that I was despised, that I was hated. Reuven is vision, ro'ah Hashem ba'ani, and Shimon is hearing. Shama Hashem ki snua anochi. Now we just have to add one more piece to understand the connection here. When Yaakov blessed his sons, so that also connects it to the blessing of the sons. When Yaakov blesses his sons in Parshas Vayechi, at the other brachos, the pasuk says, "Kol ele shivtei Yisrael shneim asar." These are the tribes of Israel, 12. "V'zos asher diber lehem aveihem v'yavarech esam ish asher kevirchaso." Each one, each person, each shevet, kevirchaso beirach osam. He blessed them. Rashi teaches us from the Chazal, right? From the fact that repeats, it says, "Matam alama beirach osam." What is repeat? It says he blessed him. Why beirach osam? Says Rashi, "Lefisha nasan leYehuda gvuras ari." God gave to Yehuda the strength of a lion. "Ulevinyamin chatifaso shel zeev." "Ule naptoli kalusa shel ayala." Yochol shelo kalolan kula mechol abrachos. You might think, you know, Yehuda got his special bracha. Naphtali got his special bracha, but they're not somehow inclusive. Tamalomar beirach osam. Beirach osam teaches us, as Rashi quoting the Medrash Tanchuma, that whatever Yaakov gave a bracha to the individual shvatim, it somehow included all of the shvatim. So what we're about to say, we're about to learn about Reuven and Shimon, applies to all the shvatim. And you see from Reuven, the fact that his name, he came into this world with a special bracha about vision, ki ra'ah Hashem bi'onyi, that means that Am Yisrael, not only Reuven or Shevet Reuven, all of Am Yisrael have a special ability of vision, of sight. And the fact that when Leah named Shimon, when Shimon came into the world, ki shama Hashem ki snua anochi, that all of Am Yisrael has a special ability of listening, of hearing. And it applies to all of Am Yisrael. Now, what is this special ability of vision, of seeing things, of hearing things? It is a Gemara. A Gemara in the Dharma. The Gemara says, in the Dharma, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Gemara points out, Avram Avinu had his name changed. From Avram to Avraham. Right? The hay was added to the name of Avram. What's the significance of the hay being added to the name? Says the Gemara. Bitchila him leicha karish baruchu amasayim va'arboim u'shlosha evarim. In the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Avraham, or gave Avram the ability to rule over him licho on 243 of his limbs. Everyone knows there are 248 limbs, Ramach Evarim. He gave them the power to rule over 243 of his limbs. Ulibasov himlichoi amasayim barbim ushmona evarim. In the end, he gave them the ability to rule over all 248 of his limbs. What's in the end? What does it mean? When did Avram's name change? After Bris Milah. His name, with the kiyum, with the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Bris Milah, Avram became Avraham. He now became able to rule over 248 limbs. What are the additional five limbs? Says the Gemara, Elohein shtei einayim, two eyes. Ushtei oznayim, and two ears. Verosh hagvia, and the milah. After Bris Milah, so Avraham became in control of his Rosh HaKvi, of his Titus, of his Yetzirah, good. But now he also ruled over an additional four Avarim, his two eyes and his two ears. What's the pshat that now he became ruled over his two eyes and his two ears? The Ran on the Gemara there explains, what Shtei Einayim, Shtei Oznayim? שבתחילה המליך הקודש ברוך הוא על עבריו שהם ברשותו להיזהר מעבירה. A person originally, or Avram originally, had the ability to control himself from Aveira, of all of his limbs. Save for his eyes and his ears. Aval ozna ve'enav shaladam enam b'shusa. Because a person's eyes and a person's ears are not necessarily in his control. I could be sitting and I could be learning Torah. I'm doing the biggest mitzvah, and all of a sudden I can hear something inappropriate. It's not under my control. We hear things that we don't necessarily want to hear. And it even happens we could see things that we don't want to see. We're engrossed in our learning, and we look up and we see something which is inappropriate. Al-Karcho, Yire Be'enav Uva'ozna Yishama. There are things against our will that we see and hear. Ula Basov, but in the end, Kshenimo, when Avraham Avinu had the mitzvah and gave himself a bris mila, himlicho kodesh baruch hu alfilo wal elu, he gave him the ability to rule even on these. Shelo yistakel, velo yishma, kiyam dvar mitzvah. Avraham Avinu now had the ability to only see and only hear things which are dvar mitzvah. That's what the Ram says. And Rav Tzadok says that we see it in Reuven and Shimon, and that's what the Torah is emphasizing. That know who these people are. Know who Klal Yisrael are. We are a people that we see things, Lidvar Mitzvah. We hear things, Lidvar Mitzvah. Why is this point being emphasized over here in the Yichus of Moshe and Aaron? The Psukim over here, the psukim over here say, is it Hu Moshe V'Aaron? And it says it a few times, Hu Moshe V'Aaron. And Rashi brings down Moshe V'Aaron, they're mentioned together. The point is to show that there's a similarity between the two of them. There's almost a certain equality between Moshe and Aaron. The two go together. Moshe and Aaron go together. And one of the ways that we understand what Moshe represents, what Aaron represents, and that together they're a unit, it's different aspects of Torah. That Moshe represents Torah Shebiksav. Moshe brought us the Torah. Moshe was the messenger through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Aaron HaKohen represents Torah Shebaal Peh. Ki Sifsei Kohen Yishmeru Das V'Torah Yivakshu Mipihu. Aaron is Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a beautiful idea that the Sfasem says. I think he says in a Parshas Tetzaveh. The Parshas Tetzaveh starts over the Hadlokas Amenaira. May Erev Ad Boker. Right? Last week's Parsha, Yisrael says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're sitting here and you're dining Am Yisrael, Mi Boker Ad Erev. Moshe Rabbeinu is Mi Boker Ad Erev, from the morning to the evening. Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah min ha-shamayim, min ha-boyke ad ha-erev. The darkness, the evening, that represents olam hazeh. And boyker is, right, olam ha-elyon. Moshe Rabbeinu was min ha-boyke ad ha-erev. Aaron ha-kohen, where the mitzvah of lighting, the menorah, was min ha-erev ad ha-boyke. From the evening, from the darkness of olam hazeh, man's involvement, Torah Shebaal Peh, the Mesorah, Achibur Sheb of Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh, is min ha-erev ad ha-boyker. Together they represent a unit. Torah Shebeksav is with our einayim, with our eyes, with our vision. Torah Shebaal Peh, the Mesorah, is passed from one to another. We're here, we're listening, Divrei Torah. The Torah here is emphasizing, according to Rav Tzadok's pshat in Parshas Ve'era, he's emphasizing the fact that Am Yisrael had a special ability of vision and of hearing, and that connects to Moshe and Aaron being the givers of Torah, both Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's what the Ran said, that we have to use our eyes and our ears for Dvar Mitzvah. Because without that bracha, our eyes and ears can go way off, can go awry. And despite our best intent, we can hear or see things we're not interested in hearing and seeing. Says the Sfasemis in our parsha, Am Yisrael said, Naseh v'nishma. What was the sin of the Eved Ivri? What was the sin of the Eved Ivri? The Eved Nirtzeh, the Eved Ivri who decides he wants to stay on. What did he do so bad? When Am Yisrael said, Naseh v'nishma, what did they add? I asked, what were they adding to Parshas Yisrael? Naseh means we're going to do the mitzvahs. Okay, we're going to do the mitzvahs. Nishma, we're going to hear, means we're going to hear. We're going to use that special ability of hearing that we have in order to do the mitzvahs, mamish lifnim mishura sadin. To really do it properly. To really do it the way we're supposed to do it. The Eved Ivri here is not saying, I'm not going to keep mitzvahs anymore. What's he doing? As a point of comparison, he brings the Am Yisrael and they complain about the man. Zachayu es adogar shenochal b'Mitzrayim. You want to go back to Mitzrayim? It was comfortable. It was easy. What's so terrible? They didn't say we don't want the Torah. They never said that. They said we want an easy lifestyle. The pshat is, Naseh v'nishma is saying, I don't want an easy lifestyle. I'm not interested in just being Yotzei Zayin. It's not just enough that Nas says. It's not enough that we're going to do it. But we're going to hear. We're going to hear very carefully. Just like when someone speaks to you. And they ask you to do something. You listen very carefully. You try to understand where it's coming from. We call it ourselves, you read between the lines. A life of Avodas Hashem cannot involve as well a strong emphasis on all my creature comforts and having everything I want without pushing myself too far. It's easy to be a slave. Everything is taken care of for me. I have to work, of course, but in a way it's easier. Everything is provided for me. I don't have to worry. That's what Am Yisrael wanted as a nation when they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. Zacharnas HaDagor Shenochal B'Mitzrayim. That's what the Eved Ivri is saying. The Eved Ivri says, Ahavti es Adoni es Ishti ves Bonai. I love it here. It's comfortable. It's great. These three things are in contradistinction to the Ahavta as Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol miyodecha. The Torah commands us, don't just do the mitzvahs. You have to love God. Now, I was thinking about this. B'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol miyodecha. Everybody knows, Chazal, the drushes. B'chol levavcha, shnei yitzarecha, b'chol nafshecha, filo notelis nafshecha, b'chol miyodecha, b'chol mamoncha, b'chol miyodecha. Look at Poshet Pshah. B'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'odecha. What does b'chol me'odecha mean? You have to translate. Without Chazal, b'chol midah midah, b'chol mamona. What's b'chol me'odecha? Ma'od means very much. B'chol me'odecha, with all your very much, with all your passion, with all your intensity, with everything that you have, you're supposed to love God. You have to use everything, every ability that you have in order to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, with all your eyes and with all your ears. That Eved Ivri has no problem with Naseh. You know what the problem with the Eved Ivri is? V'nishma. He's not fulfilling V'nishma. So what do? You bore his ear. He did sin with the ear. The question, what did he do with the ear? He didn't do anything with his ear. He did sin with the ear. V'nishma tells me to serve God with all my intensity. It tells me to serve God even without my creature comforts. And that's the only way to serve God. And he wanted it comfortable. We drill his ear. So that we learn from here, there's two aspects to Naseh v'Nishma. Of course, the first aspect is what Chazal teach us. Naseh v'Nishma means that Am Yisrael were mocked in Naseh before Nishma. Good. But there's another point. The other point of Naseh v'Nishma, there's another dimension, and that's what we're learning here. about the Eved Nirtza. The other dimension is, it's not enough to keep the mitzvahs. You have to do it with all your ability, with all your passion, with all your goof. Because we have that ability with us. It's part of our genetic makeup. Avram was given that ability when he was given the mitzvah of Bris Milah, to roll over his ears and his eyes as well, and his Milah. And that was given to Reuven and Shimon by virtue of their names, of focusing on the ability of seeing and on the ability of hearing. And that's something that was given down to Am Yisrael, and we're supposed to use it for studying Torah. Torah Sheh Miksav and Torah Sheh Baal Peh. And we're supposed to use it in the fulfillment of all the mitzvahs that we do. It's not enough to be Yotzei Zayin. That famous statement of Naaseh V'Nishma applies to us every single day in the way in which we fulfill the mitzvahs. Are we just fulfilling them, Naaseh? Or are we doing it V'Nishma? Right? It's just like if someone very beloved to us asks us to do something. How are we going to do it? Are we going to do it with a grimace on our face? We're going to do it 10 minutes after they ask us to do it? Or we're going to do it with enthusiasm? Or we're going to do it in a way that we really hear where the request is coming from? We really know what's wanted from us. We can see and we can see. There's two different ways of seeing. We all know that. You can hear and you can hear. You can hear the words, or you can hear the intention, the point behind the words. And the Torah tells us exactly what the intention of all of the words are, the intention of the mitzvahs are. And the intention of the mitzvahs is, V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'odecha. And instead of V'ahavti es ishti v'es banai, V'ahavti es adoni v'es ishti v'es banai, instead of what I like in my home, what I like in my comfort zone, instead of that, we have to love God b'chol ma'odecha. With all our passion, with all our intensity, with all of our kelim, with all our abilities, with our all about goof, including our ability to see and hear. That is the legacy of Am Yisrael, and that is how we fulfill the words of Am Yisrael in Matan Torah of Naaseh V'Nishma.